Lord was speaking to my heart this past week. And like I told the earlier service, I know that it's Pastor Appreciation Month, but I want to tell you today my story and how I appreciate you. And so I just want to take the time this morning to tell a little bit of my story. And I know some of you have heard my story. And there's a lot to it. And there's a lot of side stories that we don't have time for today. But I just want to tell you today how I appreciate being part of what God is doing here amongst us. How I appreciate you for allowing God to work in your hearts and lives. How I appreciate what He's doing in your families and in the communities around us. And so if you'll bear with me a little while this morning, I just want to share with you how I appreciate you, the body of Christ. You know, this may surprise you, but probably doesn't surprise anybody because you know me, but I've not always been a pastor. I've not been a pastor very long. I never planned on being a pastor. Okay, let's just face it. Let's just throw it right out there. When I was growing up, I went to college for animal science. The farm was what was in my heart. And like I told the earlier service, I guess if I'd have known what was all involved in being a pastor, might not have had both hands quite so high. I used to tell Sherry on a fairly regular basis when I was first in the ministry, a lot of things are heavy. You know, you can only bury about so many kids and be with so many dying folks and walk away from somebody that you know you want to tell about Jesus and lead them Christ and they weren't interested. You can only do that about so many times and it gets heavy. And I remember telling Sherry on more than one occasion, I don't remember signing up for this. I don't remember signing up for this part. And so there's a few surprises when you're in the ministry. And you know what? This may also surprise you, but I've not always even been a follower of Jesus. And I suspect Ryan will tell us something like that too tonight in his testimony. I did in fact go forward to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior in a little old evangelistic meeting in a little old church just east of Leader when I was sixth grade. My sister and I did that. And when we got home that night, I remember my dad telling us that this is the biggest decision you'll ever make. And he encouraged me to get in the Word of God and to pray. And for years, you know what? As a teenager, I really didn't act like, look like, talk like, or walk like Jesus. Really didn't do it. But when Sherry and I were married, I told you this story just recently. When Sherry and I were married, you know what I said to her the third night of our marriage? I said, Sherry, if you die tonight, you know where you're going to be tomorrow? And her reply was, I think so. And that was my heart. And that was my reply. I said, I think so. And I'm not comfortable with I think so. And Sherry and I got on our knees before God that night and we repented and said, God in heaven, we've been doing things our way. That's not good enough. We want to do things your way. And we want to give our lives completely to you. And so on our knees that night, three nights into our wedding, into our marriage, we said, Lord, we surrender to you. And we want you to take control of our lives. We want you to take over. That was just over 30 years ago in June, and we've been joining the company of Jesus as Lord ever since. You know what? Because, and I told this story a couple times, but I'm reminded of the Roman ruler that once had a deserter brought to him. And the deserter was thrown down at the Roman ruler's feet. And I don't remember the Roman ruler, and I guess I should have because that would have been a better punchline. And maybe you know the story because it's true. But they had the same name, this Roman ruler and this deserter. And of course, deserters at that time were... That was it for him. But they threw this young fella down there, and the ruler, and he had the same name, and he asked him about what he had done, and he concluded with this. He said, change your name or change your behavior. And that's what the Lord has said to me. He said, Jim, And I believe he's saying it to the church of God today. If you're going to say you're a Christian, then change your behavior to reflect what a Christian should look like. And that's what he said to me 30 years ago. Change your name, Jim, or change your behavior. And Sherry and I surrendered to him completely that night. We've allowed him to work on us, and we get to be a stubborn piece of clay once in a while, but we've allowed him to work on us and change our behavior because we want to be called Christians. Sherry and I and our family have always been in church. We've always loved the Lord. We've tried to raise our children in the church and for the Lord Jesus. We've stayed actively involved in the church no matter where we were, at Hinckley or Leader or our Covenant Church, Thomastown, or Free Methodist in Motley. Wherever we've been, we've tried to serve the Lord, and then one day the Lord came and knocking again. By this time, I had spent nearly 20 years in managing the production at the seafood plant here in town, and I wasn't looking to be a pastor. I was trusting the Lord. I was following Him, and I was trying to do His will, and He came knocking on my heart again, and He was using the then pastor of the Free Methodist Church here in town to come to my offices on a regular basis and say, you know what, I think we'd like to have you come help us in the Motley Free Methodist Church. Well, Sherry and I decided to take our children. They're all home then yet. We take our children. They invite us over, and we went to minister to them, sing them a few songs, and me bring a short message because I had been licensed in the Mennonite Church. And when Sherry and I and our three children got there, that was five of us. We doubled the congregation that day. So then there was 10. And the pastor kept coming back to my office at work and kept saying, like to have you come help us, like to have you pray about it. And I'd always be fair. I'd always say, I will pray about it. And this went on for some months. I don't know how many trips he made back there. But he made enough of them that one day I went home and I told Sherry that I know this sounds crazy, but I believe God is calling us to the ministry. Of course, she thought it was more crazy than I did, but we just sensed, and it would take a long time to tell it all, but we just sensed that God was calling us to this church. And you know the story, a lot of you. You know that we're in a little old building over here, 100 years old plus, one-room schoolhouse-type building, not exactly conducive to growth, or matter of fact, for much of anything else at the time. It had wore out. It was just an old, tired building. And, well, there wasn't a whole lot of folks there. On a good day, there was 8 besides the pastor's family and my family. That made up to a whopping 17. And so, quite frankly, I was praying to God, and I was asking, as pastor was coming to me and saying, come help us, you know, I got to be honest and say, I was saying to God, help with what? They already got one pastor, should do it for 12 people. But God was tugging on my heart. And after months of prayer, I told Him that we would come help. And some of you know this part of the story. After being there about 6 months, the pastors told the congregation, I'm leaving and here's your pastor. Which was news to all of us. Not exactly how they always do things, even in the Free Methodist Church. So he left, and I figured, well, God didn't call us here to close the church doors. I didn't feel that once. I felt it was small. I felt that there was opportunity, let's put it that way. But I never once felt he called us there to close the church. And so for the next 3.5 years, I was bivocational. I was pastoring the little church. I was still managing production at the seafood plant. I was still farming at Leader, and I was working on ordination. So I don't know if that's bivocational or that's four-way vocational. I don't know what it is. But for 3.5 years, I did both. And during those first 4 years, I was working on ordination. And you know what? God was working on us. We were simply praying, God, stir up the hearts of people that aren't in church. Because from the plant where I work and the place where I live and the 20 miles in between, there's probably hundreds of people not in church. And maybe hundreds that don't know Christ. And even though the look of the church was, let's just say, less than impressive, with 10 people or less, they were small enough, they weren't able to have Bible studies at the time, no VBS, no Sunday school, no board of administration intact and working on things, and no money either. I reasoned that God did not call us, though, to close the doors. I reasoned that God called us to proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ as Lord. And that's what He's put on my heart. Just two simple things. That's been my challenge. That's been my motto. To tell people the good news about Jesus with an expectation that God is going to save some of them. To tell the people that we live around and we work around and we that are in our families, they're in our neighborhoods, wherever we've come from, to tell them there's good news and His name is Jesus with an expectation that He saves some of them. That's what He's put on my heart. And the other thing that He put on my heart was, if you're a Christian, Jim, and body of believers that claim the name of Jesus, then act like it. That's the only two things He's put on my heart. Call it. You know what the Bible calls that? Holiness. Walk like Jesus walked. 1 John chapter 2, verse 6. To walk as Jesus walked. That's all He's put on my heart. That people might know Him. And those of us that know Him might be a holy people, a sanctified people. Those are biblical words. To be the people He can use to bring glory to Himself. And that's what He's put on my heart. And 2 years, He was working there, and 2 years after we'd been there, we moved over to here to begin worshiping here. That's a whole nother God story that we don't have time for today unless you're not hungry for lunch at noon. It's going to take a while. But it's a God story. He gave us this church. He gave it to us. Even though it was valued at $165,000 at the time, and it needed some repair, which we did, He gave it to us for $5,000, and we moved over here and began to worship. Glory to God. You see, He had a plan. And I forgot to tell this morning, but I've been told this by a dear friend of mine, a dear pastor of mine more than once. If God has called you, He's got a plan. And so we've just got to say, yes, Lord, like I'm going to ask you to turn to in Isaiah 6. Yes, Lord, like Isaiah said when he said, I saw the Lord. I saw Him on His throne, high and lifted up, and the train of His robe filled the temple. I saw the Lord. And that conversation goes on in Isaiah chapter 6, and you can turn there if you want to. He sees the angels, and He sees them hovering about God Himself, crying out, holy, holy, holy is the Lord. And Isaiah falls down and says, woe is me, I am ruined, I'm a man of unclean lips, and I have been in the presence of God. And you see the story as we read through it there. The angel comes and touches His lips with a live coal to clean Him up, so to speak. And God intervenes then in this conversation in verse 8 of Isaiah chapter 6. And Isaiah said, I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? And who will go for us? And Isaiah's classical answer said, and I said, here I am, send me. That's what Isaiah said. He didn't know what he was going to get into. He was just willing. And I believe God is calling some of your hearts today. I believe that's why He's got us together. I believe that's, remember what I said last week? There's a reason we are all together. It's not for Jim's glory. It's for the glory of God. There's a reason He has brought a couple of hundred, 300. And we've had hundreds of people here visiting us this year. Hundreds. There's 150, 200 here every Sunday now. There's a reason He has done that, and it's not for Jim. It's for Jesus. There's a reason He's brought us together so that we might come alive together for the glory of God. And we just need to say like Isaiah, and I found myself saying a few years ago, here I am, Lord, send me. I'm not much, but if You can use me, I'm willing. That's what I told Him. And I really felt that God had called us. I don't know if Sherry did or not. Matter of fact, she was pretty comfortable where she's at, and she'll tell you that. I wasn't ready to leave. We were pretty comfortable in that church. But He had a plan for Motley, I believe. And what a plan it's been. Look around us today and see the hand of God. I argued like Moses. I said, I can't even talk, Lord. You've got to find somebody else. I argued like the others. I argued I wasn't qualified. And I've come to hear from people and come to learn myself. God doesn't necessarily call the qualified, but He qualifies the called. That's what He did with Peter. I'm no Peter, but God will qualify you if He's called you. I'm no Paul. That's what He did with Paul. That's what He did with James and John. And He doesn't necessarily call the qualified, but I'll guarantee you He qualifies the called. Because I'm living proof. I'm no Moses, and I'm no Peter, and I'm no Paul. But God put on my heart, I need somebody. And I said, Lord, if You can use me, send me. And God began to do a mighty work in here, amongst us, in our communities, and He's continuing to do a mighty work, and He's going to. Why? Because we're going to seek the face of God together. We're going to be faithful to Him. So after 3.5 years of doing both and working on ordination, and the Lord was working on our board, our board at that time, He was working on me, and we were starting to wonder if this church, this growing congregation, shouldn't have a pastor that was full-time rather than leftover. Because that's kind of what I had to give them. I had leftover only. I was working a lot of hours, and then there was times I wouldn't even go home. I'd go visit somebody in anyway. That's a long story. But God was doing a work, and He was working on my heart, and He was working on the board at that time. And we were asking ourselves, isn't it time to have a full-time pastor? And you know what? I had pretty good pay down there. I had more pay than I deserved, that's for sure. And I had pretty good benefits. And you know what? I had weekends off. I don't know what that is anymore. And so I went to my boss one day. My boss was a relatively new Christian. His name is Mike. And I went to Mike one day and I said, Mike, I haven't given anybody a notice in over 20 years, but I said, I need to give you my notice. He knew I was in the ministry. He knew that God was working in this church and blessing it. And here's what he said to me. He said, Jim, I know what you make. He's the only one at the plant did. He said, I know what you make. And he said, I know what preachers make. He said, what are you going to do? Legitimate question, I suppose, if we're trusting in ourselves. And I said to him, and I told the earlier service, this has not come from me. I'm not that smart, but it has come directly from God. Here's what I said to him. I said, Mike, someday I'm going to stand before the throne of God, and He ain't going to ask me how much I made. He is going to ask me what you've done for my kingdom. He is going to ask me that. And he was very satisfied with that answer. And so I'd give him my notice. I'd given him a notice of 3-4 weeks, whatever it was. I told the board, okay, we've seen the handwriting of God. That's another story. We've seen the handwriting of God, but I'm going to leave down there, and I'm going to become your full-time pastor. And during that 3 or 4 weeks, the devil, he kind of played on my emotions. He kind of played in my spirit. As a matter of fact, it was January 3rd, 2006. I was down to 3 or 4 days left. And I woke up at 4:30 that morning. It was a Tuesday after a long weekend. And I woke up at 4:30 that morning, and the devil was working on me big time. He said words like this, idiot and fool and things like that in my own mind about myself. Look at what you've left. Look at what you've done. Think of this that you could have. Think of that that you could have. Think of that that you're not going to have. And all this stuff was in my heart and in my mind from 4:30 till 5:30. And he almost had me talked into going back and saying, you know what, I'll give you a couple more years. I was that close. I got up at 5:30 like I normally did around 5:30, 5:40. Got to my amen corner to pray and seek the face of God and read like I did every day before I went to work. And I turned to Ezekiel 34. And I want you to turn there for a minute. Because you say, well, God's never spoken to me through the Word. Well, I'm going to tell you, He speaks to us when we get serious with Him. Because I opened the Word that morning in Ezekiel chapter 34. I hadn't been in it in my daily devotional for a couple days because I had been preparing for my sermon and then giving a sermon. And so I hadn't been in the Word for a couple of days in my devotional sequence. So I open up the Word that morning to Ezekiel chapter 34. I've been wrestling in my spirit for an hour, almost talked into going back to the factory and making the big buck and reaping the benefit and saying, and I was even wrestling with myself and saying, God, I can do both. I've been doing it for 3.5 years. And here's what He said to me, Ezekiel chapter 34. And the Word of the Lord came to me, this is Ezekiel writing, saying, Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. You know who the shepherds were, brothers and sisters? They're the pastors. They're the leaders of the church. They're the holders together of the flock. And God said to Ezekiel, go out and say to the shepherds of Israel, prophesy and say to them, thus says the Lord God to the shepherds, woe to the shepherds of Israel who feed themselves. You see where he's going? Woe to you, Jim, who feed yourself. Should not the shepherds feed the flocks? You eat the fat and you clothe yourselves with the wool. You slaughter the fatlings, but you do not feed the flock. The weak you have not strengthened, nor have you healed those who were sick, or bound up the broken, nor brought back what was driven away, nor sought what was lost. He had my attention by this time. And it goes on. So they were scattered because there was no shepherd, verse 5 said. And they became food for all the beasts of the field when they were scattered. My sheep wandered through the mountains on every high hill. Yes, my flock was scattered over the whole face of the earth, and no one was seeking or searching for them. That's what God said directly to Jim. No one is seeking the lost in this community. And that's not 100% true, because there are people are. But that's the weight he, that's what's a good word for that? That's the guilt, perhaps, that the Lord put on Jim's heart that day. He said, people in this community need somebody that says, here I am, Lord, I'll do it. Send me. I was crying Amen corner by this time, saying, Lord, I hear you loud and clear. I got 3 days left. And I believe, brothers and sisters, that God still has a great plan for these communities. Until everybody has had a chance to know the saving knowledge of Jesus, He has a plan for our communities. Amen? And He's going to use the church. Not just the preacher or the pastor or the bishop or the priest, but He's going to use the church that's on fire for Jesus Christ to witness and go ye therefore and make disciples of all nations. He's going to use the church to do it, and He's going to use ours when we come on fire with the Holy Spirit of God. You know what I said earlier, and I'm just so thankful for what you have done and letting God work in and through you. My wife and my children and my parents, they didn't sign up for this. They got into the ministry by default. I went and they all got drug in too. They didn't have their hands up and said, yes, Lord, here I am. Not that they didn't in their heart, but God was calling me. And yet my wife and my children have come alongside my parents, and they've been my greatest allies and my support and my prayer team. And they got, like I said, they got brought into the ministry by default and got busy and got involved. And I just want to say thank you. I just want to say thank you. I love you. And I want to say thank you to the rest of you that are coming alongside the efforts of the Almighty to revive our communities, to bring people to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. I appreciate you. I appreciate what you're doing. I appreciate you being committed to prayer. I appreciate our praise team. I said it earlier this morning. You know what? They don't just show up and sing. They got to practice. They got to work. They don't just show up when the rest of us show up. They show up here before 8. They're still here till afternoon getting ready to lead us in worship. I'm thankful for that. You know what? And I don't even know if they want to be here from 8 to noon, but they are. I'm thankful for you that teach Bible schools and teach Awanas and are going to teach Awanas and teach Sunday schools and hold Bible studies and commit yourself in prayer. I'm thankful for all of that. I'm thankful for you. And I just want to say I appreciate you so much for listening to the Lord's voice when He says, I need you. I'm just so thankful for all of you. I'm so thankful when somebody comes along and says, you know what, Jim, you're going to be proud of me. I just told somebody at work about Jesus. Told him what he's done in my life. And I said, you know what, I am proud of you. We have become evangelists for the Lord Jesus Christ. But my time is running out, so let me push forward. I just want to tell you that it just really, really, really humbles me and touches my heart when I hear of your personal testimonies and your personal stories and seeing you, many of you in these last 5, 6, 7 years, come to the saving knowledge of Jesus. I cannot express to you my thankfulness to Jesus for working on your heart and you listening and responding. I cannot tell you how thankful I am, how appreciative I am for you listening and surrendering to the Lord Jesus Christ. Laying it all on the line like Sherry and I did 3 days into our marriage, saying, God, we give it all to you. We surrender it all to you. I'm so thankful for you. I want to share a couple of quick testimonies with you that I got just recently that just made my day, made me cry again for the joy of the goodness of God. Because this is what it's all about. Listen to a couple testimonies real quick. On September 6, 2005, I was sitting in Pastor Jim's office at the church when the light bulb went on that I needed to ask Jesus into my heart. Being raised in another church, we'll leave that unnamed, I mainly heard that about God, but never realized until that day when Jim read the verse in John 14:6 that no one comes to the Father unless he goes through the Son. I knew then what I needed to do, and with Jim we prayed and I asked Jesus to come into my heart. Listen to what this person says. I never forget how it felt. It was like my heart would burst. It was so full of the love of Jesus. I always believed in God, but now I was saved. What a feeling, they write. I would always talk to God, but it was only recently that I needed to know Him more. I'm now in a Bible study and learning so much more about Jesus and how He has plans. Listen to this. How He has plans for me to spread the word about Him. Brand new believer. Now I know the purpose on earth is to do God's work and His glory and to help others to know Jesus and be saved. Hallelujah. It don't get any better than that for the preacher to read that kind of testimony. Here's how they conclude. Praise God because we are now saved because of Jesus. And another one, a little shorter. On July 17th, 2009, I accepted Jesus Christ as Lord. And brothers and sisters, let me just tell you, God has done a great work here. There's a lot of adults have come to Christ this year, but I just love to be reminded of this in print. And here's what it says. On July 17th, 2009, I accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior after being without a church or having any relationship with Him for over 25 years. I never knew what my role was on earth. Now I know that it is living a life that God would be both pleased with and glorified by. And here's what brought tears to my eyes. She said, I am reborn. Hallelujah. It doesn't get any better for the preacher to know and to see and to read these things, to see that kind of commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ, because that, folks, is what it's all about. That's what life is about. You say, well, Jim, God's got me doing this and doing that. That's what life is about, to know Him. Yes, along with what we do in life, it's to know Him. I'm just telling you, I'm so blessed. I'm so blessed to be part of what God is doing here in this community and in your lives, and I'm so appreciative, as I said over and over, of you. I'm so blessed that God Himself is saving people for all eternity. I'm so blessed of what He's doing. Somebody come up to me just last Wednesday night, walked right in here. We had our Awanas training, and he was just giddy. He was just bubbling over, and he said, Pastor, my heart, my soul, it's just about to burst. He said, God is putting on my heart revival. Revival in the church, revival in our community. And he said, am I the only one that feels that way? And I said, no, brother, there's a lot of people that feel that way. There's a lot of people seeking the face of God for revival in our churches and revival in our communities. And I said, keep seeking His face because He's going to show up in a powerful way. Not that He hasn't already, because He has. But He's going to continue to show up and He's going to continue to revive the churches that want to be revived and are seeking the face of God. I have a heart for evangelization, okay? That's no secret, is it? I have a heart for the lost. I have a heart for the people from here clear out to Poplar, where I used to live, and that my coworkers and in our community, and I hope you do too, because He wants to use all of us to evangelize His communities. Seeing people come to Jesus Christ, it doesn't get any better than that when people say, "Yes, Lord, come into my life. I surrender it all to You." People ask me, "Jim, do you get discouraged?" Yes, I do. Yes, I do. I get discouraged sometimes too often, I suppose, because of the heaviness of the day. Do I get tired? Yes, I do. I really do. I really get tired. Matter of fact, I was so tired last night at 6:30, I said to my wife, "I've had another busy, busy week." And I said, "I'm going to bed." She said, "You can't go to bed. It's too early." Well, I said, "I'm tired. I'm going to bed." "Well, you wake up in the middle of the night and you'll be up the rest of the night." So I postponed it till 8 o'clock. Because you know what's going through my heart? When I get tired and I get weary, the little old song that we used to sing, "There are souls to rescue, there are souls to save, send the light." That's what He tells me. That's what He tells me as a shepherd that's only going on the grace of God and the goodness of Jesus. I can't do it on my own. But I'm mindful that there are souls to rescue. And I will be faithful. That's the commitment I have made to God Himself. I will be faithful to the Master. As long as He calls me to the ministry, I will be faithful. I feel like Peter when Jesus said to him on the seashore that day, "Do you love me, Jim? Do you love me, Peter?" "Yes, Lord. You know I love you." "Then feed my sheep." He says it again. "Peter, do you love me? Jim, do you love me?" "Yes, Lord, you know all things. You know that I do. You know that I love you." "Then feed my lambs." And He says a third time, "Jim, or Jerry, or John, or George, or Judy, or whoever you are today, or Peter, do you love me?" And if our reply is, "Yes, Lord, I love you," His reply to us is, "Then feed my sheep." I ask myself once in a while, let me close with this. I ask myself, particularly after these last few weeks and perhaps months, I get excited to worship God, okay? I get excited to worship the Lord. I get passionate about Jesus. And sometimes I suppose I may be a little hard on you folks, and I just want to say to you, I apologize for that, but I don't apologize for telling you about eternity. Hell is real. Eternity is forever. And if we don't know Christ, hell is going to be really real. We need to know Christ as Lord. Pastor Les reminds us over and over when he shares on Sunday night, God is going to return for a church without spot or wrinkle. And so he's saying to us, Christians, Jim, Christians, people that say you're Christians, change your name or change your behavior. Come alongside the holiness of God and be holy people. That's what He's called us to do. Come alongside the goodness of God and reach out to people around us and just see if He won't use you someplace, sometime. And so I apologize sometimes if I get a little over the top. But I do want us to realize that eternity is real. And if we don't know Him, then we're going to wish us a whole lot harder on telling people that Jesus loves you, He died for you, and He wants to call you His child. So let me close with this. Have you really surrendered to Him too, brothers and sisters? Have you really said in your heart, "Here I am, Lord, send me"? Now you may keep me at the factory, you may keep me on the farm, you may keep me in the office, but here I am, Lord, use me and send me. Have you really surrendered to Him? Let me ask you this. Do you really know Him today? Are you sitting here today and saying, "Jim, I've been a pretty good person"? That's great. Praise the Lord for that. You're sitting here today and saying, "Jim, I've been in church at least once in a while." Praise the Lord for that. But it doesn't make you a follower of the Lord Jesus until you decide to follow Jesus. You've got to decide to follow Him. Just like these little testimonies that I just read. There was a starting point in which to follow Jesus. You need to decide to follow Jesus. I want to invite you down here to pray. I want to pray with you. If you have not been set free from the bondage of sin because you've confessed and invited Christ into your life, I wanted to give you a chance to do that today. Because you know what? Being a good person is a good thing, but it's not enough. Being in church is a good thing, but it's not enough. We need to decide to follow Jesus. Invite Him into our life. Surrender to Him. I tell you what, He'll take control if you do. He took control of my life 30 years ago.